This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Bishalach, and of course the parasha begins, Vayhi Bishalach Paro Esa'am, that Paro, so it was when Paro sent out the nation, Paro didn't send the people, they left because Hashem took them out, no? So why does the parasha begin with Vayhi Bishalach Paro, that Paro sent him? That sounds like such a misstatement. So the Medrash notes that Paro accompanied them out of Egypt, but why is that relevant? In the end, he was stubborn, and he received Makos, until he had no choice but to let the Jews go. So what's the message? So the late, great Baal Musar, Leib Chaspin Zecher Tzadik Livracha, explains that Hashem doesn't let even the smallest of credits to go to waste. Even the smallest signs of respect that were later undone deserved recognition, and that's the intent of the Pasuk over here at the beginning of the Parsha. And so, of course, Paro runs after the people, the people got very nervous, and Hashem makes a statement to Moshe Rabbeinu But before he gets there, Moshe turns to the people and he says to them, Hashem yilachim lachem v'atem tacharishan, God will fight for you, and you will be silent. Now, when the Jews were challenged by the Egyptians, they were told to stand down and let Hashem take care of the situation. Yet at the end of the parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yoshua, "Say lachem ba'amalek, go out and fight Amalek." So why is there a change? Why does, when it comes to Amalek, does Bnei Yisrael go out and do the fighting? And yet when it came to the Mitzrayim, it was enough to let Hashem do the fighting for them. So by Dr. Abraham J. Twersky Zatzal explained that while the Egyptians threatened our physical lives, Amalek presented a spiritual challenge. The spiritual challenges can't be met with a passive stance. We need to be assertive and aggressive in repelling any and all threats to Amalek's, we need to be as aggressive and assertive to repelling anything that comes from Amalek's threats to our Jewishness. That requires active parts, and so therefore the people had to go out and fight for it. We're told, Matitzake Lai, but then Hashem says, why are you screaming at me? Rashi knows that Hashem told him, now's not the time for long tefillos. Rabbi Bender, Shalita, one of the great American mechanchim, notes that there are times in life and in chinuch when we need to offer long spiritual message and muster shmuzin. At other times, shorter messages have better impact. There's a chachma to knowing which of the different styles needs to be used, and it's that time where the chachma needs to be brought out. We're told by Amayim Lem Choma Miminamu Mismolam that the water was a wall to them on the right and on the left. Now, there's a minhag to have a different trup used for the Shira. There's also a minhag to extend that trup to include the words V'amayim lem choma as well. The thing is, those words appear twice. We see V'amayim lem choma miminam mismalam a little bit before the Shira, and then immediately prior to the Shira. So the generally accepted practice is to apply the custom to the second one right before Az Yashir. Rav Soloveitchik noted that the practice he grew up with was to switch the trup for the first one, not the second one, and Moriv Rabbi Rav Shechter Shlita suggested that the second time the word choma is spelled is choma without a vav, or can also be read as chema, or anger, since Hashem was angry that the Jews had taken the Pesel Micha with them from Mitzrayim, and we're now bringing it into the Yam. And so maybe that's not the time to highlight V'amayim Lahem Choma with the excitement and the joy. And that was the basis of that practice. Of course, others have argued that the one closer to the Shira should be the one that more correctly identifies the tune. Shamu Amimir Gazun, the nations heard and trembled. The Mechilta notes that when the other nations heard that Paro and his people died, and the judgment affected their Avodah Zarah, they trembled. But elsewhere we find that even the nations of the world sent Michamocha, and they denied their own Avodah Zarah. So how does that fit with this idea of trembling mentioned here? Slei Chevrona Rosh Yeshiva Reb Chatzkel Sarna answers and explains that the mind of a non-Jew is possible to recognize Hashem's supreme nature and at the same time keeping their Avodah Zarah beliefs intact. Sometimes in life we call it cognitive dissonance, things that we know are patently false. We continue to accept them as a gazillion percent true, because it's hard for us to open up ourselves to the possibility that we are not aware of what we're doing. And of course, there's such a major danger in doing that. Cognitive dissonance is in of itself a step towards Avodah Zarah. Following the Shira Sayam, we're granted the opportunity and the vision of seeing what goes into the Parshas Haman. And Moshe Rabbeinu makes a declaration, V'naknu ma, what are we? Now the Gemara in Chulin on Daf Tes notes that where that which was said about Moshe is even greater than said about Avram. Avram said, Anochi Afar Ve'efer. Moshe didn't even consider himself worthy of being Afar Ve'efer. Of course, the obvious question that has to be asked is, aren't they both highlighting their smallness in the face of Hashem's greatness? So what difference does it make if you're dust and ash or ma or nothing? So Meir Shapiro Zatzal explained that to be in front of Hashem, everyone is Afar Ve'efer. Everyone's ash and dust. But to see oneself that way in front of others, that's a trait that was much more praiseworthy when it was made by Moshe, who was willing to just understand, but not to hold it over in a way that would be detrimental to his own gaiva and his own style there within. Finally, at the end of the parsha, we read also about Moshe Rabbeinu and the battle of Amalek. So when it comes to the battle of Amalek, Vayomer Moshe Yoshua b'charlanu anashim v'tzei lachim b'Amalek. We find Moshe Rabbeinu telling Yoshua to go fight Amalek. Why did Moshe send Yoshua out on the mission? Why doesn't he go on the mission himself? So Rav David Cohen Shalita, the famous Rav Gvul Yaivitz in Brooklyn, referred to our Barbanel's pshat that Moshe didn't want to dignify Amalek's tactics with the respect of his going out to fight the battle. Rav David Shalita added that the symbol of Amalek is Leitzanus, and by sending Yoshua instead of going, Moshe wasn't accepting the dignity of the response to the Leitzanus. But coupled with the idea that we mentioned earlier in the Sedra, in the name of Rabbi Twersky, I think we can understand that it has to be responded to. Moshe wasn't shirking the responsibility by not being the one to go out. Moshe Rabbeinu was turning around and showing that he too was fighting the battle, which may explain why he was standing at the top of the mountain with his hands. Finally, we in the Haftorah, we are blessed to have the opportunity to read the entirety of the Shiras Devorah. And there we're told, Ki biyadi shayim kor, because in the hands of a woman, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sell Sisera. Right? Which woman is referred to over here? So Radaksa assumes that it's Yael who killed Sisera when he came to her tent. But the Ralbag assumed that it was a reference to Devorah HaNeviah. She's the one who was credited with the miracle, even if the end of the miracle was actually performed by Yael, Eishashei Berakeni. So the Meshech Chachma asks, what was the reference to Yimkor? What does it mean that Hashem will sell? And so the Meshech Chachma says it means that there's a cost or a price to pay. Yael was the one who had a price to pay for a victory. She became forbidden to Heber as a result of whatever happened between her and Sisera. And so for the sake of the Jewish people, though, she sacrificed, and the credit is a victory to her. Similar to Esther Amalka, Kasher Avaditi. Sometimes in life there are tremendous sacrifices people make. We have to recognize that even when we're recognizing moments of victory. We need to remember those who contribute to the victory. And with that in mind, those people along the way certainly light the lamps that help bring us to not only the Geula, but even further beyond. We wish you all a Shabbat Shalom to all.